Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My best bet in this one, that's a little wonky, a little fiery, but Bailey Zappi to throw for 225-plus passing yards. It's plus 750, and the Steelers have a decent defense, but it's not all world. And Zappi, in one of his few starts in his career, last year he threw for 309 yards against the Browns, so I think that he can get there.
Shotgun formation for Zappi, fake the handoff, looking to his left, he will throw, looking, end zone, great grab, Hunter Henry extends for the touchdown. Bailey Zappi put it exactly where it needed to be, and Henry's got his second of the night.
Fantasy football,
Zappi,
hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Happy Friday. And welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers.
Zappi Hour, Connor.
Zappi Hour. Good Lord.
It is the Zappi Hour.
It's the Fantasy Football Zappi Hour. Like, at some point, when you've got a clear lane to the hoop,
got there.
Just lay it up.
I could have got there.
He's just trying to do a 360 dunk, Jay. Yeah. Like, just lay it up. Yeah. It's a layup.
Can't even do the show open.
It's not
Jay,
just,
great
it's
call.
Thank you, Connor.
225-plus yards cashes because that was plus 750?
Plus 750.
Great call, Zappi. I would say that's our best bet of the show history in terms of odds. Not counting futures.
Yeah, right. Just in terms of game to game. I thought he was going to get there in the first half, and then I thought he was not going to get there at all.
They just weren't going to let him throw over again.
He was going to get there on the pick, and then I was like, are they actually not going to let him throw? But then little dump off for 9 yards to Zeke, and Bailey Zappi goes over. Disappointing game for my boy Najee Harris, but I have a new boyfriend, and his name is Bailey Zappi.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Get on board. Welcome again to Zappi, our Western Kentucky's finest,
and
as
Houston
well.
Baptist, by the way.
And, don't forget
it.
What?
He also went to Houston Baptist.
Okay.
Record-setting passer for Houston Baptist.
That's great.
I just want that to be known.
That's fine. Well, we don't have a Houston Baptist helmet, but we do have a Western Kentucky helmet, so thanks for working with what we got to work here. And again, the show is called Fantasy Football Zappi Hour.
Like, it is.
The odds of – he drinks free, by the way, today. Like, the odds, Jay Croucher, the odds of us having a show title.
Yes.
Who is a great pun with a quarterback – who has an unbelievable game on an island game.
Yes. Unbelievable game.
For him.
For him. Yes.
Right? And one of our guys, you know, cashes a plus 750 bet that he gave out on air yesterday. Like, it all comes together.
Yep.
All we have to do, like, it's unbelievable. Passing, great defense. The game is there. And then all we got to do is just literally, like, a layup, a clear lane
to the
hoop. All we got to do is that.
I know. If I had more than 4 seconds of airtime, I would have got it all in. But this is the story of the Zappi Hour.
It was like Mitch Trubisky throwing to an open receiver.
Yeah, it just
doesn't happen.
Sometimes you just throw a duck.
Right. Yeah, tough one for Mitch Trubisky. Although, still had about 21
Rogers
fantasy
over
points
here.
Somehow. I don't know how.
So. Mitch Trubisky, it was one of the great, and I know you were on the under, Matthew, but it was one of the great passing yards over caches, Mitch Trubisky last
the
night. Because I think he had 145 with 8 seconds left in the game, and the line was like, it was 180 to 185, was around
At halftime, when he had 60 yards passing, I bet the under on 185 and a half in his in-game prop because I thought they'd be better, but I didn't think he'd be, you know.
Well, there's also, like, it's a good bet, and a lot of books turned that market off because he looked like he was going to get benched
for
Mason Rudolph.
That's the other thing, too. They were calling for Rudolph. He'd had the one drive, you know, that sort of saved him. But anyway, so I took that bet, and it was looking good. And so, as you're saying, with 8 seconds left, So I thought I had this.
I mean, it was done. Well, it should have been done because it looked like Zeke got the first down and then they would have just started kneeling and then the game's over. But Trubisky gets the ball back with 15 seconds, pass, deep right, Deontay Johnson, goes for 24 yards, and then as time expires, it's, of all people, Allen Robinson for 21 yards, and then I don't know what was going on. He tried to lateral it.
It's a mess.
I don't understand his every situation there. Like, if you throw it 21 yards, you lose the game. Just throw it deep. The only chance you have is a pass interference call that stops the clock for a field goal.
Right.
All you need is a field goal. Why don't they do this every time?
No. Oh, or, by the way, if you're going to throw it 21 yards, throw to a sideline and step out of bounds and see if you get 1 second left and you
kick
it.
Middle of the field.
But middle of the field with no timeouts left, and you're just like, so you did absolutely nothing other than make me lose my bet.
Just
so there you go. So tough day, but while that in-game bet was just personally painful to me, the fact of the matter is in terms of what I gave out publicly yesterday, I said I liked Ezekiel Elliott over 15 and a half rushing attempts. That cashes easily. And in fact, I put out on Twitter when we saw that Devontae Parker was also inactive for this game, the inactives for the game meant, and the, I think it was, somebody put out that, what their starting wide receivers were and it was, Tyquan Thornton, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
And so that was the only three active wide receivers. And then yet they had Ty Montgomery, I guess, and Malik Cunningham. But I was just like, I literally put out this tweet before an hour before the game, like, whoa, you know, like 30 touches incoming for Zeke. He winds up with 29.
You came
close. I missed by one.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be better next time.
Better next time. I'm going to watch the tape get better. But, yeah, I mean, Zeke. So we should probably get into this.
Let's get into the Roto World player news, and we'll continue with this game, Patriots-Steelers, of course, Thursday Night Football, which flew past the very low point total, Jay.
It cashed at halftime, right?
Yes, it was at halftime. It was cashed
As Al Michaels noted.
Yeah. He was all over it.
I mean, like Al Michaels, who is the king of like, oh, that's interesting to some, you know, this is,
people that care about those things.
Exactly. Always very hinting. Now he's just like, again, the overcash. It's like,
he's done. He's not tiptoeing around.
No, he just,
he's talking about, it's like your friendly bookie or your unfriendly bookie. Like, he was leaning right into
it. Like it's still illegal, which is honestly the best part of it all. He's like, for the people that participate in those kinds of things, it's like, Al, in America, it's legalized.
Yeah, literally, there was a DraftKings segment on the game literally an hour ago.
Yeah, the company he works for participates in promotion of it.
Literally, like,
anyway,
we love Al. He is a legend, and the over did, in fact, cash in this game.
Yep.
We did not give out the over yesterday. I saw a lot of people give out the under just because they're like, oh, it's too bad offenses. But we talked about this before the show, and we didn't want to give out the under because we're just like, this feels like there could be a defensive touchdown or like a short field for a couple things.
Yeah.
I don't think we expected Zappi to play as well as he did. But the fact is, it felt way too low.
I think the...
For a professional NFL game.
Yeah, and that's here's the main thing. A professional NFL game with no weather. It was perfect weather there. There's no winds, no rain or anything. I think the takeaway with totals going forward is that when you have two teams that are really good at stopping the run, it just leads to more scoring because it was very clear early on that neither of these teams could run the ball because the Patriots don't have a great rushing offense. Steelers' rushing defense is solid with Cam Haywood back. And on the other side, Patriots have the best rushing defense in the NFL. So both these guys are having to throw and it just led to scoring in yards.
Yeah, and I think when it comes down to it, a game where Trubisky drops back 34 times, Zappi almost drops back 30 when they're playing with the lead. I mean, it further proves your point, Jay, is that there was just simply going to be throwing in this. Now, to what degree? I mean, Matthew, you brought up who's actually playing wide receiver for the Patriots. That led to Hunter Henry catching two touchdowns. He only gets three targets, but two of them go for touchdowns.
Two of them go for touchdowns. It's his first multi-touchdown game since week 15. Look, I don't want to make too much of this. I mean, guy had an 11% target share. Like, just a really good day at the office for Hunter Henry. You know, every once in a while, sometimes it works out. So I'm in a deep dynasty league, and I have three tight ends in this league, in this deep dynasty league. I have Dalton Schultz, who's questionable this week, Logan Thomas, who's on a bye, and then Hunter Henry. So it's just like, you know what? It's like it's 12-man, like 25-man super deep league, and I was just like, there's no one on the waiver wire. So I'm just like, you know what, F it. I'm just going to start Hunter Henry because I who knows if Schultz is playing this week.
For 8 points.
You know, maybe I'll get a little something. And then, of course, 17.5 fantasy points. It's a half-point PPR. I'm certainly happy with Hunter Henry's performance, but he's now had three or fewer receptions in eight of the past nine games. He hasn't had a game with more than 40 receiving yards since week four. So, you know, I don't want to put too much into this again. He only catches three balls in this, but two of them do go for touchdowns. Nice day at the office for Hunter Henry. I still think he's a touchdown-dependent tight end too, but certainly nice to see him get in the end zone, especially on his birthday. It was his birthday yesterday. So happy birthday to Hunter Henry. And as long as we're talking about birthdays, I just want to take a moment here. It is my mom's birthday. Nancy Berry. It is her birthday.
Happy birthday, Nancy.
You know, just I won't give out an age. It's not appropriate, but I will just say my mom.
Older than you.
Huh? Yeah. She's older than me. That is correct. She's older than me. She had me at a very young age. So my mom, the former mayor of College Station, currently the county commissioner of Brazos Valley there in Texas. So she's a public official. She's a servant to the public. And she's my mom. And I'm glad you were born, Mom, because otherwise I wouldn't have been. So happy birthday, Mama Berry.
Happy birthday, Mama Berry. Yes.
Here. Nancy. On the fantasy football happy hour. I love you very much. I will call you later. All right.
Lovely. Yeah. Hunter Henry, one strange thing. He did go to the medical tent and then came straight back out and caught a touchdown. Really strange night for the medical tent, just quietly. TJ Watt gets kneed in the face, mouth, first play. Doesn't really seem to know what's going on. Comes back in with a visor in a night game. Do you reckon he maybe has a concussion?
Right.
And he's struggling with the lights and maybe he shouldn't be out there, but it's a big game for your playoff hopes. I thought that was all very, very strange.
Very odd, very odd, and I'm sure there'll be a big investigation, or probably not at all. So that was on the only the two things on the Patriots side of the ball here. I think we can sort of ignore Hunter Henry. Also, by the way, again, they were just down to so few. You know, we expect DeMario Douglas back next week when they play in 10 days. We expect Devontae Parker back. We'll see. But, you know, so I'm sort of writing it off. The one thing I do think, the two things that I do think you can take away from this game is, number one is Bailey Zappe looked competent. You know, on the road on a short week, Bailey Zappe had some real good moments to me. And so definitely better first half than second half. But at the end of the day, he made some tough throws. He made some bad ones as well, his wide receiver. But I do think to the extent you're counting on anyone in the Patriots offense, this was encouraging to see a competent performance from Bailey Zappe, who, as they noted, the first time a Patriots player has had three touchdown passes in the first half since Tom Brady.
Yeah. Connor, with Zappe, I thought, look, the good thing for fantasy is that he was high variance and that he tried a lot of throws and he could have been picked off a couple more times, but fantasy-wise, at least he was moving the ball and throwing it downfield. But I thought the most impressive thing was the way that he was evading pressure in the pocket.
Right.
He stepped up a couple of times and he felt the rush, kind of weaved away from TJ Watt, and I thought overall it was pretty impressive.
He looked to trust his offensive line. I think that's something that Mac Jones started to lose a lot of faith in when this offense went down the tube. So I think that was a key. I think he got the ball out on time. I think when he didn't trust his wide receivers, which was a very limited group, he checked it down to Zeke.
Yeah.
And that turned to be maybe the difference in this game, honestly. We saw it in the open with the touchdown. So if this is Zappe's offense going forward for New England, and they'll see what they have for the rest of the season.
I don't think he's viable even in a deep two quarterback league. Look at their upcoming schedule.
Well, Chiefs, have you seen ours?
I mean, backup producer Pete's going to start Zach Wilson
That's
this
what I'm
week.
Saying. I started Trubisky last night.
Right,
22 points.
There you go.
You take it.
There you go. It's ugly. However you get there. Yeah, I mean, like so. But even in a truly desperate situation, like I'm starting in our league because I have Hurts and Howell, but Howell's on a bye this week. I'm starting Joe Flacco. And I have Zappe. I literally have Zappe on our team in our league, and I benched Zappe for, because I think Flacco. I mean, I would have enjoyed the 21 points, but the fact is that they play the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Bills, the Jets are the next four. That is not great for an offense. I thought this quote from Bailey Zappe, last thing on him, this is pretty good. You know, they asked him, like, hey, you know, were your friends, family in attendance here for your start, prime time? And he said, quote, nobody. They all watched at home. I don't want to pay for all those tickets. I'm still on a rookie contract. There you go. Fair enough.
Day three pick.
Yeah, day three pick. You know what? I don't blame you, Bailey Zappe. They can buy their own tickets. If they loved you, they loved you like the son that they should, you know, then, yeah, buy your own tickets.
Right.
Mom and dad, love of God. There was one positive here fantasy-wise that I do think is a takeaway, and that's Ezekiel Elliott.
He looked incredible. He looked, and it's been done. I think you might have tweeted out that he had more fantasy points than any game Tony Pollard has had this season.
That was my friend Ryan McDowell, I think, tweeted that out, and I just retweeted it. But yes, that's correct.
He looked spry. The work in the passing game that we mentioned earlier was really key. Also, he was able to, look, he wasn't efficient on the ground, but he was able to, you know, he broke a 12-yard run. He got 22 carries. They're going to lean on him, clearly. But it's really the receiving work and the fact that he was able to not just make the catches, but also do something with them, which I think is really encouraging going going forward. He just continues to look more athletic than he did last year.
You see it there on your screen in the boxes, 7 receptions for 72 yards. He was a big part of the passing attack, and we talked about that on yesterday's show, how coming into the game, he'd had multiple receptions in 4 straight games. They're using him more in the passing game, and so, look, you don't love that schedule. Again, Chiefs, Broncos, Bills, Jets, but the usage is so massive, 29, and I just wonder, like, we'll see. They have 10 days until their next game. Maybe Ramondre Stevenson is back by then, but maybe he isn't. And by the way, if you're the Patriots and you're sitting there at 3-10, Zeke's on a 1-year contract. You're not going anywhere. Ramondre's still a young piece, still a big part of your franchise's future. Do you kind of just say, you know, we really don't need to be getting more touches on your body, you know, in a lost season where we're not doing anything?
Right.
Just, you know, I'm just serious. Like, if you're Belichick, if you're the Patriots organization, what reason is there to put Ramondre Stevenson back out there this year?
Yeah, recoiled a little when you said touches on your body, but that's fine, and I agree with the point. And look, Zeke has looked just as good as Ramondre this season.
Well, you know, like it gets to hits.
Yes, right.
I'm not talking about the touches on the body that, you know,
yes.
You and I shared that
on
one night in Buffalo.
Yes.
Right.
On the ocean, on the
right.
Water.
You're right, exactly. Yeah. I'm talking about football touches.
Yeah, football touches. No, I get you. Yeah, I went in the wrong direction briefly, but no, I understand now. Yeah, we'll see with Ramondre. And look, I think Zeke has shown enough that he's kind of, look, it's not going to be an amazing value if Ramondre is playing, but I think as attrition takes its toll and you've probably got some guys injured, that he can be a flex even if Ramondre's out there.
Yeah, 100% of the running back touches. I mean, like he played 91% of the snaps, and I can be honest with you, I don't think I saw the 9% he didn't. It felt like he was out there on every single play. I mean, I saw Ty Montgomery like once or twice, but like,
who's barely a running back at this stage.
I mean, right? So, I mean, they just, you know, and that's the other thing about Zeke is like he almost never gets hurt.
Yep.
Like it, I mean, he is.
And if he does, he plays through it.
He does. I mean, yeah. he's one of the toughest guys in the NFL. So, good day at the office for Ezekiel Elliott. Anytime touchdown cash, the over on 15.5 rushing attempts cashed as well. So, I agree with you. I think locked in actually RB2 based on the usage moving forward.
Yep. Just quickly on Juju, who went 4-90. Though Juju, his line was, I believe it was 27.5 receiving yards. He cleared that on the third play of the game, which is a 37-yarder. Still not really trusting Juju to provide value. But if we're in a similar situation where they're all out again, then he probably is viable just because he's the only wide receiver on the team. I bet on Tyquan Thornton over 16.5 receiving yards. One of the weirdest bets I've ever placed. And he got there on a 3-yard reception at the end to get to 17. So he went over by 1. But he's not really a weapon in this offense, and neither is Jalen Reagor.
I just like, by the way, think about the Ezekiel Elliott, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hunter Henry. It's like it's the 2019 fantasy football season.
Right, all these names that are still out there. On the Steelers side of it, Mitch Trubisky, not a great night overall for Mitch Trubisky. I mean, sure, there's some stats here. He throws for a touchdown. He runs for a touchdown. The wide receivers were clearly impacted. Deontay Johnson gets some of the yardage and a touchdown, 57 yards in the touchdown, Matthew. But for George Pickens, he gets more receptions with 5, but only 19 yards. These were just short passes all around.
Yeah, an average depth of the target of just 5.3 yards, which I believe was his lowest of the entire season. They only took one deep shot. There was a shot of him wide open in the end zone that Trubisky just completely missed him. You see this tweet here from Next Gen Stats. George Pickens' average route depth across 6 targets was 3.4 yards past the line of scrimmage, compared to 16.1 on non-targets, the largest difference among any receiver with 5 or more targets in a game this season, 12.7. Every one of Pickens' targets were under 10 air yards. Hashtag New England NE versus Pitt. Hashtag here we go. That's from Next Gen Stats. Yeah, bad day at the office for George Pickens, and Trubisky looked terrible. I mean, the truth of the matter is,
it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do you understand how bad you have to be for a crowd to start chanting for Mason Rudolph?
Oh, my God.
Like, really early as well.
Right.
Right. Second quarter.
Second quarter? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It felt like every drop back was, if the first read wasn't open, that he could run. But we don't know why he thought he could run.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Because he's not fast.
No.
So we were talking about this, Connor and I, in makeup, another conversation we weren't privy to, Matthew. Mm. But there were Steelers beat reporters were tweeting out about how, you know, no one's open. It's like, but Mitch is running after 1 second.
Right.
Like, he's not
no
giving them a
developing.
Chance to yes. get open. And it's, I'm sorry, but J.C. Jackson is on the field. J.C. Jackson's got nothing left. If whoever is running against J.C. Jackson, they're going to get open eventually. You just have to hang in the pocket, and it was just a mess.
I forget who tweeted this out, so I apologize. But somebody tweeted this out, and they showed a clip of George Pickens in pregame.
Yeah.
And he's running along. he's running along in the end zone, and for those, but like he's running like this, right? And he's just sort of he's running like this, and
be
he's running
Matthew.
One thing, and then a ball comes, throws is thrown behind him, and he just turns around and just grabs it with one hand,
yeah.
Like it's you know, just like the most casual, brilliant catch ever, like not even trying. And they're like, and the person said something. I like how the Steelers saw this in the pregame and decided to completely ignore him. Yeah, like Pickens and Diontae Johnson are good wide receivers. They are good NFL wide receivers who can get open, and both of them can win contested catches. Like to the point that are saying like they weren't open. First off, they were, yeah. And secondly, so throw it to them.
Yeah.
Throw them. Those are guys that can win 50-50 balls. Same with Freiermuth. It just the whole offense. Was brutal, and this is one of those things in fantasy. Like you got 21 fantasy points out of Mitch Trubisky, which is terrible because
he
shouldn't have. And he was objectively bad.
That was a 0 out of 10 performance.
He fell into the end zone. I mean, I had Diontae Johnson on my hate list. I'll own this, and I mean, I guess you know. I mean, like because he catches the 125-yard touchdown, so it sort of bails out his fantasy.
Flex-worthy.
He didn't have a
right.
Diontae Johnson didn't have a great day. I think I had him at wide receiver 29 or something like that, which is probably about where he's going to finish.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly higher depending on scoring. You know, the one touchdown sort of bails him out. But, like even though I, quote, got it wrong, I don't feel like I got it wrong. Like,
no.
I feel like, you know, Diontae Johnson was not a good play last night, even though he ended up scoring. He's now had under 60 receiving yards in all of his last five games. He's got a 44% catch rate in that time frame. And, I mean, 3 for 57 on a touchdown. He got 3 receptions.
Yeah. Look, the Steelers, they play the Colts next week. Colts defense is fine. They got a better pass rush than New England. I don't think you're starting any single Steeler next week against the Colts if you can avoid it. All of these guys just feels like they're going to get doomed by Trubisky. It just was just a bad vibe all night for the Steelers. Like, Pickens is taking plays off, not blocking after what Diontae Johnson did on the fumble a couple of weeks ago. Mike Tomlin calling timeout, 4th and 1 with 7 minutes left to go for it on 4th and inches, that cost them the game. Because if he has that timeout in pocket, then they get the ball back with a minute left instead of 15 seconds or whatever, and all of a sudden you can actually have a real drive for a field goal. You cannot just make up your mind on the spot. You have to have things in place to know that we're going to go for it or not.
And did he call a sneak on that, too?
He called a sneak.
You don't need to call timeout to call a
sneak.
Well,
he didn't know what he was doing. Yeah, this is like these coaches.
Not.
Sean McDermott has no idea what he's doing at the end of games. And we won't get into Sean McDermott, but
he's had his own week.
There just needs to be more of a plan. And that cost them the game.
It really did, by the way. And they shouldn't have even had their, like, 4th and inches, because was it the same drive, the 3rd and 2, where instead of just, like, trying to do a run or dump off to Jalen Warren, they chucked it deep, and
That was the next mistake.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's insane. Like, 3rd and 2, just run it out of the gun. The Patriots are rushing 2 in that spot. And then to call the deep ball, and look, you never know with play calling. Maybe they thought they saw something and they thought they were going to get a better look. But, I mean, Mitch Trubisky, there's no chance he's completing that pass. He's going to be able to complete the pass all night.
Not even close.
It's unbelievable.
So,
all around
the Steelers, we joked about this 2 weeks ago. The Steelers, like, look at this. Like, they're, you know, they're 7-2 or whatever. They're 7-3, and then they get the Cardinals at home and the Patriots at home. This is a team that's going to walk into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen now is, just turn it to an NFL discussion for 1 second. Here's what's going to happen. Because they've lost these two terrible games, because they're not a good team. Jay, you would say it all the time. They're like the 25th best team in football, but they're gonna win 11 games, and they're going to win in the end zone, into the playoffs. So here's what's going to happen. Now it's starting to catch up with them. This is a bad loss. Arizona was a bad loss. As you mentioned, here's our upcoming schedule. The Colts, that's a tough one, and that's on the road at Indy. Indy's is smelling playoffs. Home to Cincinnati, that's always tough, and the Bengals are back alive. At Seattle and at Baltimore. Right,
lose,
I mean, so that's tough. Like, all of those are losable games, right? And so they're going to basically, instead of, like, what would have been better for them is if they just tanked, right? And they just, you know, and then they're in the mix for one of these good quarterbacks that are coming out. But now it's another year, they're going to be picking, like, 17th or 18th, where the Commanders usually pick, and they're going to be, it's going to be another year of Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
And they'll take, like, a whatever. They'll take a safety or something. They'll take a right tackle.
They need a corner.
Right.
They'll take
a corner.
Like, something that won't move the needle enough for them to get out of this middle of the pack state.
I mean,
it's crazy.
I feel bad. But back to fantasy for a second. I completely agree with you in terms of, like, you don't feel confident in any piece of this offense. Not Freiermuth. All the upside that we felt in that first game back after Matt Canada had been let go. Jalen Warren and Najee Harris again. I don't mean to go too far on this Najee Harris hate, and you and I have made it a bit, Jay, but, like, to my eye, Connor, you're objective here. To my eye, Jaylen Warren is the more explosive running back. I don't understand the continued usage of Najee Harris at the expense of Jaylen Warren. 15 touches for Harris last night, just 11 for Warren, in a game in which they were trailing by for most of the game. So why wouldn't the passing down back be in there? That gives them a better option on offense. A pass that Trubisky can complete. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, those dump-offs to Warren, he can actually complete. Am I wrong on this?
No. I think to a much lesser extent, it's the version with the Cowboys where we're always wondering for years why Tony Pollard doesn't get more looks over a tired Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I'm not putting it on that pedestal that high, but from a coaching point of view, they're looking at it. Can Jaylen Warren be a guy for us that gets 23 touches a game? They probably think no. The other guy is Najee Harris, who this coaching staff and a lot of people in that front office used a first-round pick on. They can't let it go. But I agree. It's reached the point where it's obviously had a negative effect on the team. And Warren didn't have a good night either, which is that much more frustrating, is that neither of these running backs could get going.
In the three games since Matt Canada was let go, he's averaging just 7.3 fantasy points per game. That's Jaylen Warren. Meanwhile, Najee Harris has now had single-digit fantasy points in three of the past four games. Ninth straight game with fewer than 55% of the team rushes. They didn't get anywhere. Again, tough matchup against the Patriots, but still, it just, like, for a team with a bunch of people that we feel like have real NFL talent, the fact that there's not one viable fantasy starter that you feel good about, that you feel like I can just lock them into my lineup and forget about it, is mind-boggling. And they've got a winning record.
Yep.
Like, it's...
Nope, not for much longer. Reckoning is coming.
For now.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's get away from this game, finally. It's amazing.
Thank you, Connor.
We spent a lot of time on it because it was did exceed our expectations.
We are the Zappy Hour.
We're officially in now.
It was a compelling game.
Everyone was like, this game is the worst ever, total 30 and a half.
It was a fun game.
It was fun. Lots to talk about.
That's all we asked for here on the show.
How about the injuries we're tracking going into the weekend? Puka Nacua with that AC joint shoulder injury, he practiced in full, so good news on Puka. Derek Carr still limited with a concussion. Geno Smith with the groin injury, limited. Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet starting to trend the right way, both limited at least.
But at least they showed up to practice. The groin injury is new for Geno Smith.
Yes, he's got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, so that's just something to pay attention there with Geno, obviously, especially given the fact that they play the Niners this week.
A lot of DMPs here. Amari Cooper still not practicing. We've talked a lot about Elijah Moore.
Amari Cooper is practicing again, is today. He missed yesterday. Finally back. Yes.
Yeah, so these are from yesterday. Cooper practicing today.
I don't know if he's officially been cleared from the concussion. From concussion protocol. Just by the way, this has come in just literally seconds ago. Lamar Jackson back at practice today after missing yesterday. Amari Cooper and David Njoku both back for the Browns as well. So that's nice to see there. So Cooper's practicing. I don't think he's officially been cleared yet. But there's some concern there with Isaiah Pacheco, who did not practice.
Yeah, but good news on Breece Hall. Yes. Robert Saleh said Breece Hall will be practicing today, and he thinks he'll be able to play. So while Breece Hall hadn't practiced all week, it sounds like that one, much like Cooper, is starting to trend in the right direction. We'll keep an eye on Taysom Hill
Schultz and Taysom Hill both potentially missing this week. Could be a tough week. It's always a tough week for tight ends. Could be even tougher there as well. But yes, that was certainly good news on Breece Hall. I think Saleh said he'll be listed as limited in practice today.
But he thinks he'll be able to go on Sunday
for the Jets. Jarek McKinnon did come back to practice. So, again, if Pacheco misses, I think it would be a mixture between McKinnon and, of course, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
The Packers get their own injury section. Christian Watson, who's dealing with the hamstring, he said he's not sure if he'll play in Week 14 against the Giants. He didn't practice on Thursday. Jaden Reed and Aaron Jones were both limited in Thursday's practice, as was A.J. Dillon. So a lot of different Packers injuries that are totally up in the air right now.
Correct. So on the running back side, this is great. This is actually good news because this is the first time Jones has been on a practice field in a few weeks. Yeah. So to me, this feels like Aaron Jones is actually trending in the right direction. And you certainly would love to see Aaron Jones get back out there in a game on Monday night against the Giants. Again, the practice yesterday is basically a Wednesday practice because the Packers play on Monday night against the Giants. Good matchup there if Jones can go. We'll track this Packers injury situation, especially on Sunday morning fantasy football pregame right here on Peacock, the NFL and NBC YouTube channel. I'm a company man. Show starts at 11 a.m. Eastern. Dontavian Wicks suddenly becomes kind of interesting here, especially if Jaden Reed is either unavailable or hurt and Christian Watson can't go. Five straight games with a double-digit target share for Wicks. He's had at least 40 receiving yards in four of those. Over the past 4 weeks, Giants allow the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Jordan Love is red hot. And so I don't think that Wicks is like some sort of amazing play, but I'm just, if you're desperate, if you're sitting around scratching, because there's been a lot of injuries. Christian Kirk goes on IR today. He's done for the year, it appears, you know, like, so anyway, just want to mention Dontavian Wicks.
Yep. Also good news that Christian Watson is even in some vague consideration for this week, because it looked like it might be another 3 week hamstring injury, but it doesn't seem as serious as the last time.
In some surprising news, as we have an Ocho Cinco tweet here, somebody please get me in touch with Christian Watson. Watson, this is my area of expertise. Jordan Love needs him healthy, and I can assure you it doesn't take these damn gurus or machines. Okay, Ocho.
Sweet. Yeah, very strange.
Yeah, we'll see if Christian Watson abides. I don't think he's
probably
going
to. Why, not
wide
to
receiver
reach out.
Tweets are like always so
wildly
weird,
out there.
You know. Denny Carter's coming up here just a little bit. He has a very viral tweet about
the quintessential tweet.
The quintessential tweet about wide receivers is just, yeah. Maybe we'll ask him about that when he gets here. But just like he once put out a tweet about the typical tweet by position of players. And yeah, it's just, you know.
Very accurate.
What was the wide receiver one? It's like the enemy speaks quietly and holds a knife.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly. I think that's almost exactly it. And then in a very meta moment, 5 years later, literally A.J. Brown tweeted that exact same thing.
Yes.
Literally that. And whether he was in on the joke or just, I don't know.
Presumably. But.
Some more injury news. A bit of a surprise. Trevor Lawrence with that ankle injury practiced on Thursday. So while not cleared officially, Trevor Lawrence at practice is a good sign. While C.J. Beathard, his backup, was limited in Thursday's practice with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, I mean, so Nathan Rourke is their QB3. He's the rookie. But the fact that you see it there on your screen there, there's Trevor. He's in a knee brace, but he's out there in the red jersey, in the red no-contact jersey, just throwing around. The fact that Trevor Lawrence is even walking around is unbelievable. The fact that he's, you know, he's been doing whatever, you know, nonstop therapy. Like, we thought that was season-ending when he was when he had to limp off without the use of a cart, you know, in Jacksonville. The fact that on a Thursday he's back out there, even in a limited fashion, I think gives you hope that whether or not he can go this week against the Colts, feels like his return is sooner rather than later. You know, I think about that Thursday night game against the Saints where we thought he was going to miss, and then he didn't practice all week. He gets out there in a brace and has what, at that point, had been his best game of the season.
I think with Lawrence, like, we're a bit skewed because visually the injury looks so bad, but it looks so bad because his knee snapped back. And his knee is fine. The injury is the ankle, which was before all the snapping back happened. Just like Walker Little just stepped on his ankle. And so I think that Lawrence, I mean, Doug Peterson saying, game time decision, optimistic, I think he might play. And the way to take advantage of that is to bet the Jags, who are +3 right now on DraftKings at -102. Like, the line's going to be +3 if C.J. Beathard's the quarterback. So you basically just get a free crack at Trevor Lawrence potentially playing. Because, like, it's Joe Flacco, very possibly without Amari Cooper on the other side and weather. Like, I think the Jags, I think they're big value
at +3. Jay, if you knew Trevor Lawrence was playing, if Peterson comes out and says he's starting, what's the line in this game?
Pick. I think pick, because it's not going to be full go Trevor Lawrence. I would say the difference between Lawrence and Beathard is it's more than 3, but because it's Lawrence limited. But yeah, I would say pick +1 maybe, and it's gonna, I think, +3 if it is Beathard, so you just get a free whack at it.
Yeah, I mean, Steven, you know what, it's Friday, producer Steven, so I'm gonna let that phrase from Jay just kind of lay there,
Australian,
and not build on it, just for you
and
your HR paperwork needs. That's my present to you, brother.
Steven loves Fridays.
Stuck here, well, by the way, exactly, filling out all the paperwork about me. But here's the other thing. Steven's also a diehard Jaguars fan. Yes. He loves his Swaguars. So I think he and the rest of Jaguar Nation has to be pretty optimistic about this. I'm gonna place that bet, actually. As soon as we go to commercial, I'm going to place that bet because I think Lawrence plays.
I think
he does too.
If
he doesn't, I think C.J. Beathard can cover +3 as well against Joe Flacco. So I feel good about it.
Certainly, the Browns defense did not look great last week against the Rams.
No, it did not.
No, it did not look like. Yeah.
Our final bit of news here before Denny Carter joins us, of course, as he does on Friday mornings. Chargers head coach Brandon Staley said a competition for carries is going to be something that you could see happening. We got to hear from Staley on the state of this entire backfield. Take a listen.
Just with the running game, is there any thought to giving Josh Kelly more touches just to see if he can spark something, just considering the way things are going right now? Or are you going to stick with the same split there?
Yeah, Daniel, competition. yeah, I think competition for carries is going to be something that you can see happening. And I think you've seen it on defense, you know, competing for opportunities. So, like I said, when I see keep searching, you know, we're gonna keep exploring, making adjustments so that we can find, you know, that rhythm that I've been talking about. And that's certainly one way to do it.
Very interesting from Coach Staley, who's had an interesting year, to say the least.
It's a tough year for Brandon Staley, yeah. But a tough year for Chargers.
He's in a better mood there, though, than we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah. I think, because I feel like, what are the five stages? It's like anger, denial,
anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance.
Okay, go through them slowly, one more time.
Denial.
Okay, we're fine, the Chargers are fine, don't worry about it, we've had a couple bad breaks, okay, go ahead.
Anger.
We got screwed on that call. It's, you know what it is? It's like a couple of bad breaks. We're good. We're
fine.
Stop
asking me. He got real testy with the reporters.
Yeah, exactly. Stop asking me, okay? Yeah. I'm the coach.
Bargaining.
Look, we just got it. If I could just get this and we could just get a little bit of time, you know, and everything like
Joey
that.
Joey Bosa just comes back.
Joey Bosa just
Josh
comes
Palmer.
Back. Josh Palmer. Yeah. We've had some, but if we can just get healthy, we're okay. Okay.
Depression.
I don't know. I'm out of answers. Everything we've tried just hasn't worked. We keep losing games.
Acceptance.
Yeah, we're gonna have a running back competition. We'll see
competition
that.
Like, for carries.
Brandon Staley is in the acceptance part of the fact that he's no longer gonna be the Chargers coach after this year.
Yes,
he's in the acceptance part. He doesn't care anymore. He's good.
It's very sad that the poster boy for acceptance in this case is Josh Kelly and giving Josh Kelly more run. But that's where we are. And look, Eckler's not right. He's not right physically.
Eckler is not right. He's had two games this year. Literally two games this year where he's had more than 3.5 yards per carry, but he's got at least 14 rushes in 7 of 9 games. And the fact is, yes, we don't think Austin Eckler's healthy. It's tough, by the way. Outside of Keenan Allen, they don't have any other weapon on offense to sort of help out that offense. No Josh Palmer, no Mike Williams. Quentin Johnston's been honestly, one of the worst rookie wide receivers this year. From a production standpoint,
in a while, honestly,
right? I mean, when you think about all the guys, when you think about Josh Downs and Tank Dell and all the guys that went after him, producing at a high level, and just nothing from Johnston as well. Here's the issue: Josh Kelly is not good. Like his last six games, he's at 3.2 yards per carry. Chargers 29th in yards per rush before contact. So, I mean, like Josh Kelly isn't good, and he's not even getting good blocking. Neither is Eckler. So, I mean, the whole thing's a disaster, to be perfectly honest. And if I was Brandon Staley, I, too, would be in the acceptance stage. It is what it is. We're riding out the string. You live in California. You're rich. You're young. You're good-looking. Life's good if you're Brandon Staley. You're fine.
You get paid out for at least another year on that contract,
yeah.
I would think.
Like, he's a millionaire. He's a young, good-looking millionaire in L.A. That's a good place to be, my friend. You're good.
It makes me wonder. Sometimes I hear these head coaches talk after a game, and I'm like, are you plugged into this team at all? Like, do you just show up and just like walk around the sidelines with a headphone that's not actually plugged in? I mean, he was like, I don't know. Chris was hurt. He probably didn't play. And here's the thing, as a fantasy football analyst, I knew that wasn't true. I knew our own Zach Kruger tweeted, said, no, Todd, Mr. Bowles, your guy Godwin led the team in pass routes. I feel like a lot of head coaches just don't really know what's going on. Ron Rivera, literally no idea.
That was Denny Carter, and this is Denny Carter. Denny Carter has had enough of these NFL coaches having no clue. And Denny joins us, of course, every Friday to talk about the regression files, which you could read on NBCSports.com, players who are overproducing or underproducing based on their workload, playing time, and opportunity. But Denny, before we get there, what's going on? What's happening? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I'm glad you guys got that on there because, look, I'm not saying that I know more than an NFL head coach, but I knew when Todd Bowles said, hey, Godwin's banged up. What do you want? I knew, well, hey, your guy Godwin's out there for literally every offensive snap. So what are you not looking at anything? Are you not aware of who's playing and who's not playing? It is really a crazy thing. It makes me think of like Urban Meyer, who didn't know more than like three players' names on the Jaguars when he coached them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Urban Meyer is like, you know, literally the worst coach in NFL history.
Yeah,
I would argue that, but That was a fun rant, by the way, just to give a shout out. That was the Roto World Football Show, Denny, that you and RotoPat and Kyle do a couple of times a week.
So check that out. Good stuff. That was a really good kind of rant from you. And I agree with it as well. Well, you mentioned Ron Rivera. I literally think Ron Rivera sleeps with his eyes open and isn't awake for those games because he's so stoic and he doesn't react at all to any of these things. And you're just like, no one that's watching those games can think that sticking Emmanuel Forbes out there is a good idea. Right. And yet they did that time after time again. No one that watches football, literally, like, again, I would argue that they, you know, Ron Rivera and all these NFL coaches have probably forgotten more about football than I'll ever know in my dumb life. But even me, with my minuscule, dumb little fantasy brain, I know, hey, Tyreek Hill should probably be double covered. Single coverage on Tyreek Hill is a bad idea. And yet, right. Here's Ron Rivera, who's been an NFL head coach for, you know, multiple decades, saying, like, yeah, go. Let's try to single cover 10.
See what happens.
Let's see what happens. Let's F around and find out.
There was that report where Ron Rivera said, hey, why didn't anybody tell me about this Sam Howell kid? Like, what do you mean nobody told you? Don't you know? Shouldn't you know? Have you ever talked to him?
No, it's awful. But he did spend $24 million on Carson Wentz. And he said, and threw him under the bus. And then the very next day said, hey, look, I'm the guy that watched the tape and the analytics, and I'm the one who made him my quarterback.
Oh, that is the best.
Anyway, well, I'm derailing the show with about Ron Rivera talk. It doesn't matter. Him and Brandon Staley will be on a beach soon, enjoying some Bud Light soon rather than later.
Anyways, Denny, regression files for this week. You join us every single week for those that haven't seen this segment. How about a negative pick? Who's somebody to have some negative
column
regression?
This is Kyle. I just want to, you know, give some.
Yeah, money. No, we did that at the top of the show when you weren't listening, which is pretty much how every segment
goes. I was doing my Ron Rivera impression.
Yeah, exactly. The regression files on NBCSports.com for the fourth time of this segment, Denny, for anyone that wants to read it. Who is a negative regression candidate in there?
Yeah, look, I don't love to do this because, and that was not a pun, no pun intended, but look, Jordan Love is a negative regression candidate. Because he's been running really hot and he's been playing really well and this Packers offense is clicking. But I wrote him down in my column as a negative regression candidate because he's so red hot in the red zone, guys. Here's a stat that I dug up on Tuesday and it just kind of shocked me. Maybe it'll shock you too. Jordan Love has completed 14 pass attempts inside the 10-yard line this year. 13 have gone for touchdowns. Okay, now that's hot. That's real hot, and that's great. That means he's doing really well in the green zone. It also probably can't last. Losing Christian Watson is another factor here. I don't think that Christian Watson is going to play this week. I'd be surprised if this was not a multiple week injury, but I guess we'll see. Christian Watson easily leading the team in air yards, so those deep throws probably kind of go away, dissipate a little bit. Romeo Dobbs is definitely not a guy who can just absorb that role in this offense. And Jaden Reed is an underneath guy. I know that Matthew mentioned Dontavian Wicks. Maybe he's the guy. But I do think that a little bit slower production is coming for Jordan Love.
Yep. Denny, another negative pick. Derrick Henry, who is very game script dependent.
Yeah, this is a nightmare spot for Derrick Henry. I mentioned his splits in the column, and basically he's not finding the field when the Titans fall behind. And they're 13.5-point underdogs against Miami this week. Miami's defense has really stiffened over the past few weeks. Their secondary is solid. Their run defense is even better. I don't see how Derrick Henry's going to get there for fantasy purposes without finding the end zone once, maybe twice. And I don't know if the Titans are going to be able to do that against this Dolphins offense. I think this is more of a kind of an inflated target volume game for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins more than it is for Derrick Henry, who has scored 4 touchdowns over the past 2 weeks, but that's sort of papering over concerning usage.
All right, Denny, let's move over to a positive pick. Obviously the negative picks, is the tougher part. How about somebody that's due for a little bit in the positive direction?
Yeah, look, Zach Moss is the only game in town with Jonathan Taylor out. And I know that the team has sort of hinted that Taylor may or may not be back. He hasn't practiced this week. That's not happening. So don't worry about that. But don't forsake Zach Moss, okay? Last week, 19 of 19 running back touches in the Indy backfield. He ran basically all of the backfield routes, all 3 targets. Importantly, he got all of the green zone action, almost scored twice. I know that you can't eat expected fantasy points, okay? I've tried this. They taste like rice cakes, as I said in my column. But Zach Moss was second in the whole league last week in week 13 in expected fantasy points among running backs. So the Bengals are a much softer matchup than the Titans. I think he gets there this week.
All right, Denny, you can catch Denny for his live fantasy football Q&A right after happy hour at 1 p.m. Eastern time on the NFL on NBC YouTube channel. Be sure to read the entire article, The Regression Files, on NBCSports.com. Denny, thank you as always.
Thanks, Denny.
Thanks, fellas.
Good job, Denny. I just want to mention David Njoku was also in his column. I like that call as well. 25% target share for Njoku since week 7. Harrison Bryant caught some of it, just the fact that Flacco's looking at the tight end, especially if Amari Cooper misses. I like Denny's call on Njoku, positive regression coming.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Sunday night, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles take on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in an NFC East showdown. Sunday, 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL. Nothing is as easy to enjoy as a Sunday full of football and a fridge full of beer. But these are the games we're locking in on with the highest point totals going into this weekend. Of course, we're starting with the Eagles at Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. The point total, guys, is at 51.5. Cowboys at home currently favored by 3.5 points here. Barry, how much are you downgrading Devontae Smith with Dallas Goedert back? As predicted, Smith was phenomenal since Goedert got hurt.
Yeah, he was terrific without Goedert, but, 21 fantasy points per game, 30% target share, 100 receiving yards a game, but he's my wide receiver 22 this week as well. When Goedert has been in there this year, Devontae Smith's been inconsistent. Just a 21% target share, 13.3 fantasy points per game, under 60 receiving yards a game. He's had some nice games, but he's also had some games where you're like, what is going on? And just against this Cowboys defense, I don't know that in Goddard's first game back, I don't know that the Eagles offense is running well enough to support three fantasy relevant pass catchers. A.J. Brown's always going to get his. So then it really becomes Smith versus Goddard. If there's one positive here, I think they trail. They're 3.5 point underdogs. I think there's a very good chance they trail by more than that against the Cowboys. And Swift is banged up. He hasn't been effective. So I do think they're going to throw. But again, to me, he's a wide receiver 3 this week.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I do think it is important that whatever was going on in Devontae Smith's head, he is fixed, clearly. The drops have gone away. He just looks much more like the guy that he was last year. So Goddard coming back hurts the target share. But I think with game script, I mean, he's still a wide receiver 2.
A lot of great offensive matchups this weekend, and that includes the Bills at the Chiefs, of course. This game, 48.5 is the total. The Chiefs are favored by only 1.5 here, Jay. What's the confidence level for somebody like Gabe Davis going into this week? We know Stephon Diggs is going to get his, Kincaid's involved, but this feels like a game that you want Gabe Davis. Obviously heavily involved in Josh Allen's passing attack.
Yeah, you want a lot of shares in this game where the total is at 48.5. In terms of confidence level in Gabe Davis, or at least like the trust level, it's low because Gabe Davis is just so inconsistent week to week. I do think this Kansas City pass defense is a little bit overrated and the Bills will be able to throw the ball at will. And Gabe Davis, he is coming off a very solid game against the Eagles, Matthew.
To your point about the Chiefs, they've allowed at least one touchdown to a wide receiver in 4 of the past 5. And over the last 2 weeks, Kansas City wide receivers that are facing Kansas City have caught 77% of their targets. Of course, Gabe Davis first came onto the scene with that 4-touchdown game in the playoffs against the Chiefs as well. Last game that we saw Gabe Davis play, he got 12 targets. other thing about this game that I think is too interesting, right? Just as you see those ranks. Pacheco's at RB10, obviously. If he doesn't play, he's missed practice so far this week. CEH and McKinnon would move up. And I have Kincaid at tight end 7, but Dawson Knox expected back. It's be interesting to see, like, all of Kincaid's production has been with Dawson Knox out. I think he's earned a bigger role because he's been that dude, but it will be interesting to see what they do with Knox.
Our final one here, guys, the Seahawks at 49ers, a big-time division matchup. Yes, the Niners are favored by 11 points, but the point total is still set all the way up to 47. And, Matthew, we know what all the pass catchers in this game can do. That's not the question. The question is, can you start any Seattle running back in this matchup? Of course, health-dependent.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. I think if one of them misses, both Walker and Charbonnet were limited in practice today. If one of them is out, then I feel like you can just based on volume. But if they're both in there taking touches away from this, just since over the last six games, one running back has more than 61 total yards against the Niners. This is too good of a defense. They're almost two touchdown underdogs here. Game script doesn't favor them. I'm ideally avoiding the situation if I can.
Yep, this might be the best run defense in the NFL again.
That'll do it for What's on Tap here at the Bud Light Bar, presented by Bud Light. Easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. We are taking one last break. When we're back, it's Last Call. Jay and I got pickup lines for Matthew.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, plus all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. All right, we got pickup lines as we do every Friday here at the Happy Hour Bar. Jay, what do you got for Matthew this week?
So we hit last night on Bailey Zappi, plus 750 to go 225 plus. I'm going back to the well with another bad quarterback's alt line at plus 750.
Okay.
Taking Bryce Young to throw for 250 plus yards against the New Orleans Saints, plus 750. It's in a dome. The Saints since week six have the number 26 pass defense in the NFL. You know how Bryce Young has really struggled? Well, he's struggled a lot of things. But one of the ways that he's really struggled is against a good pass rush. New Orleans do not have a good pass rush.
This is correct.
And they are dogs in this game. They're 5.5-point dogs. And it's the same kind of application as last night, where I just don't think that an NFL quarterback, unaffected by weather, as an underdog against a suspect defense, should be plus 750 to get 250 passing yards. It's not that many yards. So Bryce Young goes for 250.
All right, I like that.
Jay's feeling it right now, and he should.
He really is.
He should be. All right, Matthew, I'm going to keep this a little bit more simple here.
Okay.
Justin Fields against the Lions, over 62.5 rushing yards. Two things you need to know. We talked about earlier in the week the easy one. Fields has gone over 100 rushing yards in his last three matchups against the Lions. This Lions defense is the worst in the league against the run of opposing quarterbacks. They're averaging 29 rush yards per game to all opposing quarterbacks. Not just Justin Fields, even pocket passers as well. You can run if you're a quarterback on the Lions because their linebackers are slow. They don't have much of a pass rush. It's been a tough go of it for Aaron Glenn's defense. I think Fields, I actually went with the alt. I went 70+, but the safe play is 62.5 over.
I like both those bets. I'm going to place both those bets as soon as we're off air, but I'm going home with Connor here. I just, again, the goat, you know, it's, I buy all your logic, and I, again, I think that's a very good bet, but I just, Mingo's un, you know, it, in terms of the weapons around, right, it's right, exactly. He just doesn't have a lot of great weapons. Now, again, Bailey Zappi got there with Tyquan Thornton and the ghost of Juju.
Hunter Henry.
So, I mean, right, you know, and Hunter Henry. So I get that, but, like, I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that. especially on the road. But I like both bets, but ultimately I'm going with Connor here because, again, Justin Fields rushing against the, Lions. Yeah, no question about it.
All right, fellas.
All right.
Well,
Sunday morning, fantasy football pregame, 11 a.m. Eastern on NFL on NBC YouTube channel and Peacock. Use the hashtag FFPregame to get your questions answered or just comment in the chat. We answer more questions than any other pregame show. We will be there from 11 a.m. all the way up until kickoff. For Jay Croucher, for Connor Rogers, happy birthday, Mom. Zappy Hour concludes right now. I'm Matthew Berry. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Peace out.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.